This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I think they're both responded well.
Why do you think it's not that big of a...
Well, I think it used to be. It used to go through the season, and the best pass rushers were always on our left, and that's not true anymore. Defense has got smart, and it's maybe not 50-50, but close to it. We're a very ambidextrous offense from a run game standpoint. It used to put your big slobber knocker at right tackle and your athletic guy at left tackle, but we're going to go both directions and be athletic. So I really don't. You know, the characteristics we need for both tackles are essentially the same.
All right, so what now, fam, listen. Pause on that slobber knocker. But listen, the thing is, with everything that's happening here, very interesting takes from John Benton. That's why I said I would love to hear a 20 to 30-minute interview with just John Benton talking. And the same thing with Clint Kubiak sent these, because that's who I really want to hear from. I want to have, you know, Clint Kubiak sit down for like 20 minutes and we talk about offensive philosophy. John Benton sit down for like 20, 30 minutes and just talk about offense. How are you going to run the ball? What do you think about this, that, and the third, and players? And he pretty much made some some high compliments to players like Trevor Penning, to Lee Swaga. There's no doubt about it. Those guys can move. They're athletic. The mentality, he called it an ambidextrous offense. But he referred it in terms of the running attack, because I think we get ready for it, fam. This is going to be a run heavy unit. This is going to be a run heavy situation. And he says it's ambidextrous and it doesn't matter. Now, I mean, it hits different when Benton says it versus when Dennis Allen said it doesn't matter, because we know he's saying from a run standpoint, it doesn't matter because if you have two athletic, that's true. I agree wholeheartedly with that, but it does matter when you start passing the ball. It damn sure matters when you passing the ball, because the quarterback on the blind side, you got to have your best guy over there, or a guy that knows what the hell he's doing on that blind side, because he can't see over there. I mean, he turns a right-handed quarterback's going to turn to his side here and looks. He'll see that right tackle. He'll see that in over that tackle. He can see that, but he can't see nothing on the opposite side. So John Benton, man, I would love to hear more from him. An ambidextrous offense when it comes down to running the football. Do you have the guys to do it? He says yes. So love what I heard from John Benton, man, on that, man. That's pretty cool to hear that. All right, let's switch on to Andrew Janoka right quick. And these are pretty short interviews right here with these guys. It's like 3 to 4 or 5 minutes. It's not much. Here's QB coach Andrew Janoka.
He's got to jump into it, both feet, and hit the ground running. So it's been a lot of fun so far, just putting it together, seeing the things that he likes, putting a player in the best position, executing Clint's plan and playing fast.
You know, obviously he's a veteran guy who's seen a lot in this league, but what's the adjustment been like?
I think it's been pretty good. You know, there's a lot carryover from things he's done throughout his career. And then there's some new stuff that we've asked him to do that he's really embraced. And it's been a lot of cool communication between him, myself, Clint, you know, just to get this thing, get everybody on the same page.
You know, not to give away the shop, but when some of the new things that you guys are kind of asking this.
Well, you know, it's just as far as getting back to training his feet in the way that we like within our offense, training his feet, training his progressions, understanding our nomenclature, you know, the way we're going to call plays, the way we're going to call motions. That's all stuff that, you know, just a continuous effort to get everybody together.
All right, so let's stop right there, because, you see, the reason why I'm encouraged – let's just use that word. I'm encouraged because these were real issues that we talked about constantly ad nauseum over the last year, that it just seemed like it fell on deaf ears. Like, why are you guys ignoring this stuff? Why are you ignoring his progressions? He's not going through his progressions properly, you know? And Andrew Janocco's talking about footwork. Now, you know, Carr's footwork, I thought it was okay last year. You know, I thought his footwork was all right. But, you know, it wasn't something I was looking at. I was looking more at his progressions, the fact that Carr would take, you know, either would stare down one side of the field, you know, or he will rush through progressions and just check the ball down. The difference I'm liking here, why I'm optimistic, let's just say that, and enthused, was because they're not going to leave that on Carr. They're going to fix his footwork and tell him, listen, you need to do this. We want you to do this like this. We want you to go through the progressions like this. They're not leaving it all up to him. You get what I'm saying? Like, that was Pete Carmichael last year. He wasn't talking about Derek Carr's footwork like that and changing and doing any of this stuff. He wasn't. Not trying to disparage Pete Carmichael, but he wasn't talking about that. Well, we need to get his footwork. We need to go through his progressions. He's a little slow. We need to speed him up. We need to make sure he understands what he's looking at, da 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 da, because everything's operating on timing with this offense. So if the quarterback is off, it could be problematic. So he needs to be in rhythm with everybody else. So it's very good that they're going that car and talking about progressions, family. This is big. We talked about progressions ad nauseum last year, that he don't go through his progressions properly, that he stares one side of the field down. I'm so happy that these guys are working on getting that together. I am, really is, because that was a killer for us last year. A killer. So this is positive. This is positive.
What are just kind of, this might be a weird question, but just what are like maybe two or three, like kind of like your pillars of like coaching, like what are the kind of things you want the QBs to hang their hats on?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is we're going to have an open line of communication. Everybody's got to trust each other. They're going to trust that we're going to put them in the best position, and, you know, we're going to trust that they go execute at a high level. And then, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to listen to our feet. Our feet are everything. We're built from the ground up. And then just decisive decision making, you know, playing fast, being committed to what you decide, and let it rip.
Well, what
decisive decision making. I like that. Decisive decision making. That is something, that's two words that you couldn't put on the Saints offense last year, most certainly on Pete Carmichael. decisive decision making. That is, yes, we need that. We need more of that and plenty of that, please. Please.
What about you and Clint? Do you think kind of works well? You guys been together for a while.
Yeah. You know, that's like, we've known each other for a long time. Just trust each other. I trust him. You know, try to do a good job for him. His whole family, it's been really important to me and my development as a coach. So I think it's just us being on the same page, me trying to anticipate what he wants and go to work for him the best of my ability.
This, how do you view the QB room just kind of overall?
I think it's a great competitive room. A bunch of smart guys, a bunch of competitive guys, a bunch of guys that are hungry and want to win. Those are the type of players we want in that room. It'll be fun to see those guys compete every day. They compete with each other in the room. They compete with each other on the field. They go play golf with each other, you know, which I'm gonna get Hayner's handicap here eventually, but I haven't gotten there yet.
I hear you're good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Impressive, guys. How do the dynamics change when it's a room where you have two young draft picks like so close together? You don't see that a lot. Does that kind of change how anything's approached?
No, I think it's, you know, getting the right people in a room. And when you add people to an organization, you know, when Mickey and those guys, when they bring people in, they know the type of people they're going to bring in that room. So it makes it easy on a coach. You go in and you can say, hey, these are the type of people we want. These are the type of players they want. They go out, find them, and then it's easy to get to go to work.
Okay, now listen, fam. The words is coming out of Andrew Janocco's mouth. And when you listen to Clint Kubiak, and we've played in Clint Kubiak interviews, you guys hear him talk. They're almost the same person in terms of their countenance. You know, their temperance. You know, their attitude. They have a quiet, cool demeanor. And even though you see how they talk and they're very meticulous, and Clint Kubiak is like I said, they had people that were talking about, I was listening to interviews from coaches that work with Clint Kubiak in other stops, and they talked about a quiet confidence and a cool demeanor. Janoku has it. He says he's been working with him for a long time. They have the same character, like, you know what I'm saying? And the mere fact that these guys come in and they study the film, they come in and they watch these players and they say, hey, we want you to do it like this. And like I was saying, fam, we know this is just the beginning, but fam, listen, it all starts with, what are you going to do? Are you going to fix the problems that we talked about last year? Because people, I'm telling you, these people get up here on these talk shows and they say all this stuff about Derek Carr, this and all these other stuff, and some of it is true. But when we talk about the systemic problems that was wrong with the Saints and what's stopping the Saints from winning games is what we've been talking about, is what we've been talking about for some time here on this show. And it was incredibly frustrating. Y'all see me visibly frustrated in losses when I do the play-by-play on Sundays or Thursdays or whenever they play. You know, it's a 5, 6, 7 hour stream. It's a pregame, during the game, halftime, and after the game, all this kind of stuff. It was incredibly frustrating. And we sat up here for some time and said the same stuff over and over again about what's wrong. What are these guys doing? What are these coaches doing? Are they studying the film? Are they looking at the film? Are they doing this? How are you saying you working with Derek Carr and he's still staring guys down? You're not supposed to be doing that if you're doing your work correctly. If you're an offensive coach and you study in film, there is no way you can overlook Derek Carr was staring people down and wide receivers were getting frustrated. How did you let that go the entire season? If they would have checked that, there would not have been this frustration from Chris Olave or Michael Thomas or these guys. It was the fact that people like the Lattimore situation was all bit out of frustration. Lattimore wasn't the team cancer. He was upset by the direction of the team, and he wasn't the only one. Kamara was upset. There were plenty of people that were upset enough to cause problems in the locker room insofar as people losing faith in the coaches. It's just Laddie Daddy was the biggest of the names. And that's a big name for the Saints. But when you don't have accountability for people when there are, like, say, for instance, in Pete Carmichael's undisciplined system, guy, and this Elvin Kamara said this, he said guys would just false start and he would look. And he said the coaches wouldn't say nothing and they'll just reset. And he'd be like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Because he knows better. When guys are false starting, you're supposed to get on them guys, fuss at them. What are you doing? None of that was going on. How are you running an offense like that? Were you not checking these guys? Guys are false starting. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to lose playing time. What's going on here? So you can screw up and have all these things and not be affected at all? Have no punishment for misdeeds that you're doing to hurt the team? That's what I was talking about. So when they talk about the Saints was one game away, you would have never got that game. You would never got that game because you are not, these type of issues prevent you from being consistent. You need accountability. You need these attention to details. You need these things to build a consistent and strong winning team. It's a part of the philosophy and the dynamics of the team. It's a part of the mentality of the team. You've got to have that. You can't have a functional, successful situation without accountability, without people paying for what they did if they did something wrong or being rewarded when they do things right. You've got to have that. And we suffered from that offensively speaking. And that killed a lot of the hopes of the team. That's why I say games, the Saints should have won like the Green Bay game. How do you have an epic collapse like that if you're undisciplined and unfocused? That never happened. That should never have happened. You had 11 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter. But this is what I'm saying. This type of stuff that we hear from these guys coming in is very positive. It really is, fam, because it speaks toward the issues that we talked about ad nauseum. And people are like, man, Q, damn, it's the wet blanket, this and that. And the third, I'm like, fam, no, don't look at me and say I'm this because I'm telling you what they're doing. You know, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger and then hit. Then the message, they're saying it now. So was he? See, the message is out there. We were saying it the whole time. Now they writing it like it's new. Man, we've been on this shit. We've been ahead of the curve. We've been saying this stuff, and they finally got it. Fam, go back in your recollection. They finally are talking like we talked 2 years ago. You know, people shooting at the messenger. Oh, Q, this, that. And I'm like, fam, I'm trying to help the fucking team.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm trying to make them aware. I'm trying to make them aware. Hey, man, we got a problem. And it ain't talent. It's mentality. It's accountability. I kept saying it. But I'm the wet blanket, guy, or whatever you want to call me. Oh, Q, you just said, I keep sit fucking real. Excuse my French, man. I'm sorry. But God dog it, man. I've been waiting for this for years, for this finally to happen. And listen to these people saying it. And you really want to hear something? Let me put Dennis Allen on. Listen what Dennis Allen is saying. And Dennis Allen wasn't talking like this. It's an energy that's sweeping over the team. And it's stuff that I've been telling these people for years, and they finally saying what I said. And to the point where they're saying almost the same things I said verbatim. The same thing, the pinning thing. I kept saying the pinning thing. I said it for years. I said the pinning thing for years. What are we doing? I said it for years. I talked about and said, don't do that for years before they, when they formed the idea, I said, don't do that. It won't work out. I said it for years. I knew because I pay attention. I know the sport. I know the game. Bam. Listen to Dennis Allen, what Dennis Allen saying. Listen to your coach and how he talking now.
But I thought there were some good things I saw. I thought good competition between the offense and defense. And so for first day of OTA practice, I was pleased, you know, but obviously we'll get in, watch the tape, and, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of corrections that we got to make.
Dennis, are any of the absences problematic? Are you okay with the guys who aren't here?
Well, look, I mean, I'd always love for 100% participation. I'm aware of why everybody that's not here is not here. Some of them personal reasons, some of them personal choice, whatever the case may be. I think really our focus really has got to be on the guys that are here, and let's work to get the guys that are here. Let's work to get those guys better. When guys aren't here, when they get here, we're going to welcome them with open arms, and we're going to go about getting ourselves ready for the 2024 season. And I think that's really all we can do.
Dennis, the decision to go with Trevor Penning, running with the ones at right tackle, wouldn't win the decision.
Look, I think you're going to see a few things throughout the course of training camp where we're going to, you know, maybe try some different things. I think that's kind of the direction that we're looking at right now, and really working Taliese over on the left side. And giving Trevor an opportunity to work on the right side. We're still waiting to see, you know, where Ryan Ramczyk is when we get, you know, probably to training camp. It'd be the first time that we would even potentially see him. So I think that's kind of the thought process.
It's almost a clean slate with Trevor. You got a new line coach. Yeah, you got a new offensive coordinator.
I think one of the reasons why you look at potentially putting him over on the right side is exactly that. It's a totally clean slate. It's a different position. It's a different coaching staff. It's a different scheme, you know, and it's really a, hey, we're starting over here. We're starting new. I'm excited about it. I think, I think it could be something good for him. And look, we haven't set anything in stone. We're going to evaluate how everything goes. And ultimately, our job is to get the best five out there come opening day.
Let me stop it right there. Dennis Allen, the pinning thing, man. The pinning thing was very clear to me. I've talked about that ad nauseum about Trevor Penning, that he would be a good watch how Trevor. And then just like I was right about that family, about Penning not playing the left side, that he would do well at the right side. Watch how he looks at the right side. Watch when he gets an opportunity to grow into the position. Watch how he looks. Watch what he becomes now. Watch what he becomes now, because you can see it in some of these guys. Not all of them, but some of them, you can see it in them. Watch what he becomes. And then this thing about the offensive reset. I said that some time ago. I said, don't you dare take Trevor Penning. And people's like, yeah, we're going to put him at the left side. And the unofficial depth charts came out. I kept saying, don't you do that to him. He had a traumatic year in which you buried him on the depth chart and he was still active. You had guys coming off the practice squad like Cam Irvin starting over him, and he was still active on the team. He didn't even get cleanup duty most days. Well, you come in there as the sixth offensive lineman to block. I said, don't you dare do that. He had a traumatic situation. He needs a complete mental and otherwise reset. That man almost used the same terminology I use, and I said that weeks ago. I mean, it is what it is. But like I said, man, a lot of things they were saying in these interviews that we were saying for a long time, and they are finally getting it. They finally are getting it. So shout out to the Who Dat Nation, man. They are finally getting it. It took a long time, but they finally are getting it.
And we'll go through that full process to figure that out.
So you think it's more permanent with Tuilagi on the left side?
Last
week you said it was just trying.
Yeah, well, I think we liked some of the things that we saw. I think we want to evaluate a little bit more. I wouldn't say anything's permanent, but I think we like that direction, and then we'll see how it goes.
Remember, that's Clint Kubiak. I know Dennis Allen is answering those offensive-related questions, but remember, Dennis Allen's managerial style is similar to Mickey Loomis's managerial style, which is hands-off. I give you the job. If you win, you win. I look good. If you lose, I'll spin a narrative for you to protect you, which is not how it's supposed to go. I don't think you need to be hands off with a guy that didn't really prove that he can do anything. I think you need to still be with him and kind of peek over his shoulder, question him from time to time, have more of a hands on approach just to let him know that you are there and that you might have to think a little extra hard on some of these decisions because he's around here somewhere, as opposed to going there and cut and close the door. And then when he screws up or does something dumb, you just come out and spin narratives to protect him. Nobody likes that because it's void of accountability. You have to discipline guys when they come out and do something stupid. You got to do it, especially out in the open. You got to set the record straight. And that's what flamed up a lot of the diehards like myself when I seen that happening, because I knew that would turn into something negative. And it did. So I just, I am very optimistic that based on what I'm hearing from these people, because remember, a lot of this stuff, Dennis Allen wasn't, some of these things he said in his interview, he didn't say this stuff. And I've listened to damn near all this man stuff since he's been here as a head coach. And it's just he mentions accountability and attention to detail. And I know that that's two things that he's very rocky on, but he did get guys that are good with that skill in Clint Kubiak, Andrew Janoku, and John Benton and others. Talking about the wide receiver coach Williams, the running backs coach, these guys are solid football coaches, really good, solid, smart football coaches. When they picked these guys up, I played all the interviews when they signed them before they were Saints, just to give people an idea of the IQ of some of these guys they're bringing in here. They didn't mess up on these guys. These offensive guys are for real. And some of them are, no disrespect to our past guys, are upgrades over some of the guys we had before. So like I said, fam, I like the floor in which they are talking from offensively. And Dennis Allen is joining along as well. Believe it or not.
I think Taysom Hill can flourish in any role he embraces. You know, I think there's a lot of things that he can do. And so, look, I think there's going to be a learning process that goes along with this. But there's a lot of different things that he can do. And I wouldn't say a lot of it is totally different than some of the things that he's done in the past for us. So, I think with a new staff in here and a new scheme, we're going to look at, like we were talking about with the offensive line, we're going to look at, okay, what can Taysom do? And where can we utilize him in this scheme where he can help us win football games?
That's also the thing we talked about, too, when they brought him here. What was Taysom Hill's role? Taysom Hill, the quarterback, is pretty much going to be gone in Clint Kubiak's offense. He will have a more efficient and better usage for his talents than being a quarterback who runs the ball all the time. Very predictable. That ultimately was a failed experiment, because the only way it was supposed to work is he was actually supposed to be half quarterback, half running back, at times to fool the defense. It didn't work. At times when he was a quarterback, he had an opportunity to throw the ball. He would just pull it down and go and run. So that Clint Kubiak system with him running as a quarterback, I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. Maybe here or there, but in Clint Kubiak's system, you're looking at Taysom Hill as Kyle Juszczyk. We also talked about that here as well before all that was getting going, because I went and analyzed with the style of offense that Clint Kubiak likes to run. I looked at the Minnesota film. I looked at some of the stuff the 49ers were doing. And he has to have a versatile fullback. When he was with Minnesota, I think it was CJ Ham. And when with them, 49ers, Kyle Juszczyk. Now, Kyle Juszczyk is a big part of what the 49ers do. And I went and compared the guys. Because one, you know, you said, well, Q, you know, Taysom's, you know, your quarterback. Such a fam, I went and looked up. They're the same age, first and foremost. It's the comparison was really interesting, because they're the same size. I thought Kyle Juszczyk was a little heavier than Taysom. No, they're the same height, the same size, like 230-something, 233, 235-something. Taysom is 230, 233, 235, somewhere up in there. And Dennis Allen's absolutely right. The Saints have used Taysom Hill as a fullback before, because they've used him several times during the years as a fullback when he was blocking for Elvin Kamara. So he definitely can play the Kyle Juszczyk role, might be better than Kyle Juszczyk in doing it. And it definitely would bode well, because Taysom could be used all. Could you imagine what these people could do with Taysom Hill in there, how versatile he is? He might be better. And I know that's a lot to say, but because Kyle Juszczyk to me is the best fullback in the NFL. That could be, could you imagine if there was anybody that can do what he did, that he does for the 49ers with the Saints, it would be Taysom Hill without a doubt. Most of his yardage comes by way of him being a running back. Could you imagine what that looks like in Kyle Juszczyk's system when they can move him all over the place? He can line up at wide receiver and dust the hell out of the cornerbacks. I mean, man, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what could be, because like I said, fam, the pieces are here already. The talent's here is how we use the talent. We mismanaged these guys last year. They did. I'm going to say they did, because I ain't do a damn thing. I wouldn't mismanage Elvin Kamara. They underutilized Elvin last year. They mismanaged the Jamal Williams, 17 touchdowns or whatever it was 2 years ago, one touchdown last year. Mismanaged, misused. You know, they misused a lot of that talent. And this won't happen this year, man. For real. Here we go.
I wouldn't think we'd see a lot of him taking reps at quarterback during this time frame. You know, we've got two young guys that we need every single rep that they can get.
Right.
Along with a starting quarterback who's, you know, in a new system. So I wouldn't think that we'd see a lot of that. And we'll just evaluate how the quarterback position is, you know, throughout this, you know, time frame, and then as we get into training camp.
Following up on that, because of where Clint came from, I'm sure there'll be comparisons to Juszczyk. Was that kind of something you all talked about, of utilizing?
I think there's some things that Kyle Juszczyk does that we feel like, you know, Taysom can do and do well.
Hell yeah! Oh yeah!
I wouldn't say that we would say that role's entirely the same. I'd say there's probably a few things outside of that realm that we feel like Taysom can do to help us.
Fam, the truth is, listen, and this is not a bold take. to say. Taysom Hill could do everything Kyle Juszczyk do and probably could do it better. No disrespect to Kyle Juszczyk, but Taysom Hill was playing backup quarterback for the Saints. He was a running back. He was a tight end, offline tight end. He was a wide receiver. Taysom Hill plays every skill position. I don't think Kyle Juszczyk can do that. I don't think Kyle Juszczyk can line up on the boundary like a wide receiver. But yet he has the same height and size as Kyle Juszczyk. If there's anybody that can pick up the system and as intelligent as Taysom Hill is, who learned to play out of various different rooms and be effective, that's Taysom Hill, man. He can probably be a better Kyle Juszczyk than in this system. I'm saying that he could probably end up excelling at that role. And remember, he makes a chunk of change too, and it can justify his money as opposed to him being a backup quarterback who don't throw the ball. I mean, that you might be able to get him to justify that money in that role. That would be special. And he shows out this year, man, that definitely means a re-up with Taysom. And, of course, you have Kyle Horvath there as a guy that can also act as a fullback if you need him to. I think Prentice is probably going to go. We're going to listen to one more, then we'll bounce to Derek Carr.
How would you say you've seen from Clint Kubiak so far? Like, how has he impressed you?
Look, I think the attention to detail and holding guys accountable to those details.
The Sports Comb is brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.